Welcome to Technology Espresso Cafe Radio. After 7 years, over 700 episodes, and over 70,000 listeners, we continue to stay nimble and agile. We want to engage our young people, parents, and educators to introduce STEM early by leveraging our curriculum based on Smart Sarah, Perceptive PJ, and their friends and family that promote diversity and inclusion. We also want to connect with our college and young professionals pursuing careers, especially in the field we know best, technology and IT. We also weave in tips related to the agile mindset and being agile to continue to promote a way of life that helps us learn to stay flexible, relevant, and ahead of the game in technology. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your technology and educational experience. And remember to listen, learn, leverage, and launch your dreams and reach your full potential.
Hi, this is Jacqueline Sanders Blackman. Welcome to another episode of our Espresso Tech Tips. This conversation is going to be about teaming. Yes, you hear me right, teaming. Taking the word team and putting ing on it, making it into a verb. Teaming is something that you have to actively do and participate in. And there's a theme through a lot that I've been talking about in October and November. I've been using the word a lot, alignment of the team members, especially when there are a lot of decisions that have to be made and you don't always agree, but you have to align. And that's a part of teaming. The one thing about software development is that it takes a team. It's a team effort. There's no one individual, and it's easy for one group of people to think that it can't get done without me, but really look at each individual player on that team. It's just like a football team. It's a team sport. It's a team effort. So no matter how important, in some cases, the quarterback is or your star shooter is, it still takes a team. Even if we go back, flashback, Michael Jordan could not have won a championship on the court by himself. It was a team effort, and having the right team surrounding and supporting whoever is your go-to person. But at the end of the day, we've seen many great players that are at the wrong team at the wrong time, and the end result is that team's not going to win, and they're not going to be successful. And so I say all that to that sometimes we don't take the time to invest in creating these teams, sustainable teams. And on top of that, we don't let them stay together long enough to get the payoff of the investment it takes to get a team to gel. And if I could get both managers and leaderships and project managers, scrum masters even, to take the time to think that teaming takes the same effort and dynamics as any relationship. Any of you that have a significant other, and it could be a significant other, or it could even be a relationship with your family members, those relationships have to be cultivated and nurtured. They're very complex. And just to kind of throw out some words, when we think about what makes relationships, you've got to have respect, you've got to have patience, you've got to have trust, you've got to have acceptance, you've got to have communication, you have to have encouragement, you've got to have boundaries, you've got to be able to collaborate and understand, consider, be considerate, to appreciate, validation, value, listening, empowerment. So the list that I just gave you, you're juggling all of those at any given time, and it's very easy to have misunderstandings. If we think about our real relationships and then translate that into the relationships you have with your team members, and keep in mind, and this is why there's so much emphasis, especially in Agile, put on having small teams. You have to build and maintain those relationships with 6, 7, 8, 9 people. So, and that's what I would consider a small team. You often hear 7 ± 2, no more than kind of 9 is that outer limit. So imagine you maintaining relationships with 10, 11, 12 people. Well, the reality is that the bigger the team, then even within the team, you start having these subset of factions or collaboration. Even on teams of 9, in Agile, we often encourage that you have an iron triangle of just 3 people within that team if you're working on a specific story together. But the 3 people you work on might vary from story to story. But again, trying to find ways to tighten that level of relating and relationship, so that you take the time and have the time to really nurture the sustainable relationship. Otherwise, you end up having these little cracks in the relationships. And when one person has a crack and their relationship with someone else on the team, the rest of the team feels it. There's an impact. Some of you may have been on teams where there was just one person that didn't get along with another person, and yet when you got in meetings, they could derail the whole team just because of their friction, or make everyone else feel uncomfortable, or everyone else was tiptoeing and placating. Or it's just one person that just goes a totally different direction of everyone else on the team. The rest of the team gets along fine and it has a good, healthy relationship, but that one person can disrupt the energy for the whole group. And I know this because as a coach, I've had to do an intervention, and the person that had to oftentimes be called out, or it had to be addressed, or we would stage even interventions, was totally caught off guard. Many times when we had these conversations of the full impact of their behavior on the rest of the team and how the team felt about it. But it was important. And that's one of the keys. There's a book that I love to reference, Radical Candor. Maybe you've heard of it. I know some organizations I've worked with, they've had the whole team kind of read the book. But the title tells you a lot as far as being able to be open and honest. And that's one of the key components of a healthy relationship. Because at the same time, what I've seen is false harmony, where, and you may have heard me talk about this before, where on the surface, it looks like everyone gets along and they're happy. And when they get on the call, there's all this cheerfulness and super politeness. I've seen it all. And yet, under the surface, immediately when you get to a topic that everyone doesn't wholeheartedly agree on, you start to see the real cracks in the relationships. For example, it might be one person who dominates and everyone else shrinks back and lets that person, because they don't want to cause any waves, they just go with that person. And I've seen this in living color, because a lot of times when you bring in a process coach and I'm evaluating, I kind of see this whole thing play out, and it looks like they're getting along. No one had anything negative or contrary to say on a particular call. A decision was made. The meeting ends early because there's only one person really making the decision. And then later they want to come to me as the coach and say, "Well, I didn't really agree, but I didn't feel comfortable." Then that's a broken team. It's a very broken team. Can you imagine being in a relationship where one person, and maybe that person is you, feels like, I don't want to upset the other person, so I'm just going to always go along with them, to the point that that person even feels they want me to make the decision. And that's often been what has happened in my interventions when the team. One example is we did a 360 survey, and all the team, one person's name kept coming up that they made the team feel uncomfortable when anyone wanted to disagree with that person's position. That person felt like, but they need me to make a decision for them, because if I don't say anything, they won't make a decision. Their point of view was, we don't say anything because you're going to overrule whatever we say and make it uncomfortable. So, talking about healthy teams, and my action item for you as a team is, make sure that, especially when you're going through the exercise of your retrospectives, that you actually are really getting to being candid with each other. You're really talking about meaningful topics. You talk about, and this is why this podcast kind of puts topics out there for you to take to your team. I don't know your team personally, I don't think, unless I have some former students listening. But you can just take this, because this is a generic topic that I see happening over and over, everywhere I go. Because if a relationship, the teaming relationship, isn't really nurtured, and we don't talk about the things that causes us fractures, then there's just a buildup. And I see it all the time. So maybe not every retrospective, maybe quarterly, you really sit down and let's talk about things that causes fracture in a healthy team and team relationship. And so here's some things. I gave you some other key words for you to think about. And if you are online and listening, or listening to and stop by our Blog Talk Radio page, you'll see a slide that I'm going to put up that has these words on it, that you can use as a worksheet with your team. We talked about words that help make a healthy team. Let's talk about the words that causes friction and fractures. Things like erratic behavior, mistrust, manipulation, feeling scared, fear of criticism, feeling isolated, not having a choice, mistrust, and I might have said that twice, because it's, and again, comes back around because it's so important. Even feeling overwhelmed, feeling anxious, being made to feel anxious, just erratic behavior, even feeling that there's jealousy, feeling that you're mistrust in the way of always wanting to know where you are, what you're doing, and ultimately feeling like you're being stalked. In the world of in real world relationships, we know that stalking is not a good thing. In work relationships, it may feel like you're being micromanaged. That is one thing that really kind of starts to kill, because you don't feel trusted, and then also you don't trust the other person with what their need for the information to know what you're doing, what you're working on, when you're getting fit. It causes friction. And so if you were to put some of these in front of your team and have them do a 360 and vote on those that they feel like the team needs to work on, and then being able to have an honest conversation. And that honest conversation, radical candor, and another key tool that a team needs in order to exercise teaming is also psychological safety. So talk about how much time are you all as a team taking to really nurture teaming, to really evaluate how you all are teaming, and finding ways that you can always get better. And the way to make the team better is that each individual accepts what things that you might do that from time to time fracture the team, and that you need to work on so that you're a better team member. Teaming and the idea of teaming isn't a we activity, it's an I activity. I have to make sure that I'm doing and putting forth the effort to make sure we have a healthy team. That's all I have for you today. I'm Jacqueline Sanders Blackman. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. We'll continue to listen, share it, and even use it. I'd love to hear back what you've used and if you've applied it, if it helped cultivate or start some conversations with some of your team members. And again, feel free to get in touch if there's some way that we can help and support you and your team. That's all for now from Technology Espresso Consulting.